just quickly, there's some good stuff. There's a lot of great material out there on authenticity and coming from authentic, and a lot of it comes out of self-development arenas. But I wanted to talk about it today because I guess Lydia brought it up with me the other day, and I said, you know, that's a good topic, especially as we're walking into Manifest. Not only do I want you guys to find your mentors at Manifest, remember we talked about that last Monday, and I said, what a great time to talk about mentoring relationships, because you're going to interact with a lot of people at Manifest that are potential mentors for you. But the other important thing is, you know, when you show up at Manifest, I want all of you to show up in an authentic way. And it's not just about Manifest by any means. It's how we should operate in every day of our life to really achieve what I consider personal fulfillment as we live this life on earth. And the only way to do that is to come from authentic. And so let's talk about what is being authentic? What does it really mean? What are we talking about? We're talking about your beingness, about who you are. And, you know, how you come across with people. What is your beingness around other people and other events? How, you know, what shines in you when things happen and when you interact with people? What is that person that's coming forward? And a lot of us can look at ourselves and say, you know, well, there are different things that really control me instead of me being me, you know. I think some people talk about finding their voice or finding their, you know, and I even heard this in the political realm. You know, I remember, I think it was Hillary Clinton when she was in New Hampshire, and she said, well, I finally found my voice. And I was thinking, well, after 60 years, maybe it's time that you find your voice. But it doesn't matter what time. And I'm not sure that's even happened yet. I don't want to make any political comments, but it's the concept of us finding out who we are and just in being that person we are. It's so critical in our lives, because when we come from authentic, when we come from our beingness, who we are, and living in our passions and living in those desires of our heart, I mean, that's when we're going to achieve the greatest things in our lives. That's when we're going to achieve the greatest level of happiness and contentedness and fulfillment in our lives, when we come from that authentic beingness state. And I think that it really is so absolutely critical in network marketing as well, because the more authentic you are, the more trust and the more relational you're going to be, the greater ability you're going to have to get grounded with people and have them have that sense of just trusting you and you know, relying on you and interacting with you and wanting to be a part of your life and going forward. And that's what you really want to have. You want to have the impact on people that when they meet you, they go, wow, this is somebody that I would like to have in my, you know, in my group of sphere of influence or group of friends for the rest of my life, because, you know, I feel that sense of, and it comes from a sense of authenticity. So, and authenticity is crucial for that basic underlying core principle for any, that's the rock of any relationship, which is called the word trust. Because if you're not authentic, it's very hard for you to trust somebody. In fact, I would suggest almost impossible. You're going to have that kind of premise of trust based on, well, I kind of trust them, but I'm not sure, I don't feel comfortable with this or that. You'll get all these, you know, kind of bantering words of trying to dance around the word trust if you're not coming from authentic. When we look at, you know, authenticity in our lives, and we look at who we are, if we sat down and started defining our core values, core principles, and part of that I love doing with people, and that, you know, that's part of my pathway class. In other ways, I help people along just to see themselves better and write their mission statement and their purpose statement for their lives and do some real core digging into who you are, what makes you tick. You know, what are the most important things in your life? You know, what's lead, guide, and directs you, and all those kind of things. That's important in order to establish your authentic self, because some people aren't authentic because they don't even know. If I asked them, define for me what's most important in your life. What's your goal? What's your direction? What would you like to create? Where's your future? If you could write your legacy today, what would it be? I mean, you know, all these kind of people look at me with like a deer in headlights. And so there's some people that never grappled with those issues. So if you don't know who you are, it's hard to come from authentic. So you got to do that self-awareness, those self-searching, you know, endeavors to really dig deep to figure that out. So that's, and it's not, you can be on the phone with me today and say, well, Mary Jo, I've never had anyone help me do that. And that's, it's okay. don't get out a hammer and start beating up on yourself and feeling insecure, and because now you're falling into some of the reasons why you're not being authentic is because every time somebody says something, you go into, I haven't arrived yet. Well, you know, as I tell people, I says the only time I'll arrive is when I'm sitting at the feet of my father, and that's when I'll arrive. But that's, who knows when that time will happen. But other than that, I'm still in a growth process of, you know, every single day, you know, trying to achieve a better me, and that's what we work on all the time. So let's look at things, what issues surrounding our lives and control our thinking that provide us with a facade, which is a facade, as we know, is just a front. It's something other than who we are, and what are the things that cause us, that dictate how I respond to things. And I kind of gave, you know, there are four examples of how we behave and some of the whys, and there are many of examples of it, but I just came up with four examples of, you know, things that kind of, that are examples of behaving not from authentic, and maybe looking at why that happens to us. And I I gave them names. I called, here they are. You ready for this? Here are the four. One is called On Stage Sam. Number two is Fearful Philip. Number three is Hiding Harry. And number four is Victim Victor. Okay? Those are just four that I came up with, and I gave them those alliteration names on stage. So let's start, Lynn. Let's talk about each one of those four. The first one is On Stage Sam, and you probably can guess by his name that he's a guy that's out there that's always trying to impress people. There's always, so when you're out on, you're like constantly on stage. Now, you probably know people like that, or maybe even you can see some of the trends in your own behavior that causes you to be like that. So we're always trying to impress people. We're putting on a facade that we're something other than who we are because we're out to impress. We're more concerned about what other people think of us than who we are ourselves. And that's kind of intriguing. I would always be more concerned about who I am than impressing somebody else and making sure they think I'm somebody other than who I am. Because when you do that, when you're out trying to impress and you tend to make misstatements of fact, you tend to, you know, tout yourself and hype yourself. The focus tends to be on you instead of the other person. So in network marketing, that's not going to work very well. These are people that like to talk about how great they are in their business and what they've achieved, and they puff their chests out. Well, to me, that, you know, that's not going to help build, you know, a relationship with somebody. It's because the focus is on the wrong person. So, you know, that concept of trying to impress is really going to hinder you in your relationship with people as well as your Manatech business. Where does it come from? Where does the concept of, you know, that you always want to put yourself on stage and you want to try to impress people? I think a lot of the whys behind that come from history about I'm not good enough. Because why do you have to impress somebody if you thought you were good enough the way you are? You know, we have this I'm not good enough. Who I am isn't good enough, so I need to step up and try to impress and put myself on stage and tout myself because I'm not good enough. There's insecurity behind all of that. So, and where does that insecurity come from? It can happen in your past. It can come from, you know, your parents saying to you, you know, oh, you're never going to be president. When you're 5 years old and you come home from grade school and say, I'm going to be president of the United States, and your parents go, oh, no, Billy, that'll never happen. There it starts. It starts from those early years, mostly between the ages of 2 to 3 years old is basically when it starts, and until you're about 8 or 9. Those 4 or 5 years in there are the most crucial years in setting the stage for you and whether you believe in yourself and you believe the world's at your feet or you believe that you're at the feet of the world. You're at the bottom of the world instead of the top of the world. In network marketing, we see language like fake it till you make it. That's this whole on-stage Sam stuff. I mean, I don't think you fake it till you make it. I think you're as real as can be. Be as real as you can be. People are looking for authenticity. They want honesty. They want forthrightness. You know, there's some good books written out there about the new network marketing today, and they're all focused on the idea that the past, the 50s, 60s, 70s, when people would be hypey and overstate things and, you know, try to drive people that way, that's isn't effective anymore because people aren't accepting that. And it really takes authenticity for people to move forward. So there's one type of behavior, on stage Sam, and you can look at yourself and say, where do I fall in fact and on stage Sam? Am I falling into that behavioral hole? And why is it that I feel like I'm not good enough? And that requires me to put myself on stage and to always try to impress people. Why can't I just be me? Yeah, good question. Be you. But you've got to figure out what's making you feel uncomfortable with that. And maybe that's just going to lead you to make some changes in your life so that you feel better about yourself. Because some of us are caught into bad habits, and that's why we have to hide. So we just want to, you know, misrepresent and be on stage. So we have some sense of insecurity behind us for other reasons as well. The second person I talked about was Fearful Philip. Fearful Philip. Okay, and who is Fearful Philip? He fears making mistakes. So he's not very authentic, because if you come from fear about making mistakes or saying something wrong, you know, that comes from people that typically were raised to try to be perfectionists, or you had parents. I was working with somebody this past week who said, Mary Jo, when I told you I wasn't sure whether I was going to do I can, she says, I just honor you so much because you said great. I thought you were just going to pummel me when you... And I started laughing. I said, where did that come from? It sure didn't come from Mary Jo. And it was really cute how we started looking at the background, how these people were raised as kids, and that the parenting that went on, that whenever they didn't follow through on something or didn't conclude something, their parents would just, I mean, they just got brutalized by their parents. So they never felt like they could come from truth, and they feared being honest and authentic because their parents would just, you know, jump all over them as failures and beat up on them, and it was brutal. So they live a life of fear of making a mistake, fear of saying something wrong, because everything they do has to be perfect. I have to please everybody, and, you know, that kind of stuff too exists there. But people who fear making mistakes and fear of saying anything wrong, they're fearful Phillips of the world. They tend to remain very quiet in communication cycles because they don't want to say the wrong thing. They don't want people to misread them or misinterpret what they say. So they wait till they know enough, and then they might interject something very simple, but they don't want to go too far because they're like tippy-toeing all the time. And how is that in terms of being authentic? It's not working very well because people will react to you with the distrust because you are so aloof and you're staying so removed from a conversation. You're not coming from your heart. You're not being you. And that's the problem with fearful people, that you're afraid and you end up hiding behind fear. Instead of feeling the fear and doing it anyway, you're hiding behind your fears, and that's forcing you to stay back and stand back. And again, authenticity is lost in you. The third character is Hiding Harry, and Hiding Harry is the concept of I have something in my past, and I'm not gonna let you in. I'm gonna wear a collar around my neck, and you can't get inside of me because I'm ashamed. And this gets into shame game and blame game and all this kind of stuff. But this is more of the shame game that we're going after. Something being shameful in our past, something that happened to us that we're ashamed of, and we're gonna hide because of it. And hiding can cause a big problem because when you're hiding, you never can be real. And people read that very easily. So the concept here is that you want to stay, why am I hiding from something in the past? And how is that serving me going forward? And the more you hide, the more you distrust others, because your lack of trust establishes distrust in others. So you start playing this game of shame, and then trust comes in as a huge factor. You don't trust others to understand issues in your life, and they don't trust you because you're not trusting them. I mean, it gets back to that like attracts like. It gets back to the fact that we know that we know. Whatever you want more of in your life, what do you have to do? You have to give more of it. I love it when people say, I'd love to have more friends. And I go, well, then be a friend to more people. I'd love to have more love in my life. Well, then love other people. Anything you want more of in your life, you have to give more of. To give as you sow, so shall you reap, is not about putting seeds in the ground. It's the seeds are just a symbolic of everything in our life. Everything in our life. Just try it. You want more joy in your life? Well, then be more joyful with others and watch what happens. I'll tell you, it'll never go wrong for you. It'll always be right. It's a law of human nature. It's like attracts like. If I love more people, I'm going to attract people to love me more because I'm pouring into people more as I give. It's all about our go-giver spirit, the whole concept of Bob Berg, your whole life. If you understand the principles of the go-giver book, you're going to understand that that's exactly what the go-giver book's about. We give more. We come up with ways that we're giving more than whatever price they could ever pay for what we're selling or marketing. So it's about always putting out more, sowing more, and watch what happens. And then the fourth person is victim victor. And this is a person that has a story. They want to stay victim to their past. So, you know, our father abused us, so it's not our fault. My husband divorced me for another woman, so it's not my fault. My parents like my sister more, so I'm downtrodden. I was raped when I was 12, so I can never be anything in my life. I was abused by my priest. My mother was a drug addict. My father left home at the age of 5. You know, so that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Now, there's great sadness in all of these stories. But I will suggest to you that there's always somebody who has a better story than yours. There are always stories. We all have stories in our past. There's not anyone that goes through life without stories. It's not whether or not the stories are going to hit us, because stories are going to happen. It's how we respond to the stories that happen in our lives. And therein lies true character. But if we stay victim to our past, if we stay victim to our stories, if we stay victim, and we play this big V role in our lives, and we wear that V on our forehead, you will never be authentic with people because you're hiding behind your story. Your story is what's captivating your effectiveness. You're giving up on ever being responsible on the face of the earth because you have a reason why things happen in your life, and it has nothing to do with you. So you're not going to be responsible for anything because you can always claim victim to the story. Is there anything authentic about that? No. And can you be authentic in a relationship with people? That's why you look, start evaluating the relationships in your life. If you go victim to things in your life, how do you ever build a solid relationship? You can't, because you're never going to be vulnerable in that relationship, because it's always about your story. Your story is going to protect you. You somehow have this shell around you because of the story. Could you have been victim to somebody? Of course. I can't take a person who's been raped and say that person's not a victim. Of course you were a victim. But the idea here isn't about whether factually you were a victim at some time in your life. I think if we all looked at our life, we could claim some kind of victimness somewhere. And some of you have better ones than others, but we all have, you know, we have fact situations that you could look at and say, wow, I was a victim to what happened there. Some of us can look back at 2007 and claim victim to Manatech for 1 year, right? I mean, Global View, the skincare debacle, the Texas AG, we all can be victim to all of those things. And trust me, there are a lot of people in Manatech that took the position they're victim to it, and that's their story, and they're going to live by it, and they might not be in Manatech today. They might have decided to quit. They might have decided, because they decided to go victim to what happened outside of their realm. Well, I don't choose to go victim to any of that. I might have been a victim to it, but it's my viewpoint on what transpired. My viewpoint is I'm responsible. I'm able to respond. So I choose to step into responsible, because that was what opened up the floodgates for me to come from authentic in my beingness instead of getting stuck in a story. Because lockdown in that story doesn't allow me to come across authentic. And I'd rather be authentic, I'd rather be me than let some story capture my life and control what happens going forward. Okay, so does everybody get those four? Those kind of four interesting characters, right? And that's what happens to us, is robs us of our ability to be authentic. So, but do you see how they're programs and they run our lives and they control us? So in order for us to, what do we need to, why do we need to be authentic? I kind of went through this earlier because, number one, you maximize your personal power when you exude authentic energy. And I love one of my favorite quotes is, all you know is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So it's about showing our heart. It's about loving on people. It's about telling them how much we care. It's about pouring into them. What can I do for you? How can I support you? And really, truly walking your talk. Because it's not about just saying that. It's about doing it. Some of us can use good words, but we're not really following through on them. We want to make sure you're following through on your commitments there. And when you project a facade, we talked about this too, and we talked about, you know, our crazy guy always trying to impress on stage Sam. There's a sense of disparity. Trust is impossible to establish, and it keeps you from being heard. If people don't trust you, they're not going to listen to you. And we already know listening skills are one of the big gaps in our society. So you want to be able to provide the opportunity for people to listen as best as possible. And again, by carrying on a facade, you're detracting from them hearing you. You want to be heard, and you want to hear others. So you're going to lose your personal effectiveness if you're not being heard. In interacting with people, what is the most important time you have with people? Typically, it's first impression. Typically, it's that first meeting. And that's your number one time. And you have one chance, one opportunity there to make a difference. Now, sometimes you're going to get more opportunities. Thank goodness we do, because I think sometimes what happens to us is people tell stories. Or they find out, I know what happened in my church. It was really cute. A good story of that was this one gal who's now involved in Manitech. But she told somebody, she goes, oh, Mary Jo intimidates me. And the woman at church said, why? And Jean was so cute. She was almost laughing, like, why does she intimidate you? And she goes, well, I don't. She's a lawyer. just because she found out I was a lawyer, you know, it had nothing to do with my actions or my behavior. It was just a concept. So that was, but was that a first impression? Well, it was something she just heard about my background. But I had a phone conversation with her the other day, and it was so cute. She called back this friend and said, I can't believe it. Mary Jo's really nice. She was just so much fun. We had a great call. And she was just like, and the other woman said, well, duh. But you never know, that can happen. People can come to, you know, prejudgments about things too. But first impression is so important. So you want to make sure that you have that open heart. And that's where we have the hardest time. Because you and I, a lot of people in this world, we don't want to open our hearts up to people until we trust them. Oh, my gosh. If everybody took that approach, what would happen? We would have no trust. Everybody would be like looking with suspect eyes on each and every other person. So if you look at the people you admire the most, I'm going to suggest to you, a lot of those people are going to have that trusting soul, that they walk up to anybody and trust them implicitly. And those are the people that you honor the most. And start looking at those characteristics and say, wow, maybe I need to take a different approach. So it's important that we build trust, to build trust with people. And if you want to build trust, what do you have to do? Give trust. To build trust, you have to give trust. How do you make a shift into authentic? I think that a lot of great programs are out there in personal development work. I think it's the best way to do it, because I think that's the way you can start breaking through some of the programs running your life and the issues going around for you. You don't even see most of the programs and the belief systems that you have. You know, we have sunglasses all over the place and we don't see what they are, but it's important for us to, you know, break down those issues that are controlling us. And the best way to do it, as I see it, is going to personal development work with some real good coaching and things that are going around, people around you that you admire who have a lot of background in this. Those are the people you want to get help from. Assessing your power means being complete with your past. And you can look at the four examples that we went over earlier. Almost every single one of those issues that we talked about, those four people, on stage Sam, fearful Philip, hiding Harry, and victim Victor, they all were people, examples of people that had issues that came from where? Their past. Whether it was unforgiveness or it was, you know, victim, you know, instead of changing their viewpoint and taking it from victim to being responsible, able to respond, okay? It doesn't mean blame. It just means able to respond. hiding. Harry was just hiding from his past, something he didn't like, fear of making mistakes. That's just looking at our past and saying, what's controlling us? What's controlling us is our parents when they said, you know, you have to be right, you have to be perfect. That's going to control you the rest of your life. Be careful on things that are controlling you. And a lot of times you don't even see them as patterns of behavior programs, you know. And the concept of not being good enough, that comes from past too. So you gotta overcome the past things. You have to forgive people. And that's a hard thing to do. A lot of people have a hard time doing that. We like to carry grudges as a society. I never could do that. Even as a kid, I remember when I was young and somebody would do something bad to me and I would get angry and then it would be gone like 10 minutes later. I don't know what it was. I don't know whether it was just because it was more so because my parents were exactly like that, and you had that influence around your life that, you know, but if you had parents that all the time complained about, oh, you know what Aunt so-and-so did? I can't believe it. I mean, if you got that around your household, then you're going to have the same kind of stuff that you keep bringing that stuff up in your life. So release it. Let it go. Don't let past or others control you. You know, you're giving up your power when you do that. So to be powerful, you have to put past behind. And those are most important things. The other thing, ask yourself, I put in here, ask yourself, in what respects am I living a lie or not the truth? Ooh, that's incredible. Because sometimes we, you know, that's kind of hiding Harry again. In what respects am I living a lie or not the truth? What qualities or thoughts am I reluctant to let others discover? And when you start answering those kind of questions, the neat thing is now you have areas where you can do some your own self-improvement. And some of you say, well, Mary Jo, I've been like that all my life. How am I going to change? I go, you can change on a drop of a hat. Change. I'm going to tell you that bad habits like that, things that really are hounding you, can take 5 seconds to get over. All you got to do is see the price you pay. When you start really putting down on paper the price you pay, why do you want to continue paying that price? That's what I don't want to do. Every time I saw that myself, and I saw, oh, you're so competitive, here's the price I paid, I go, oh, my gosh. I mean, it was painful, totally painful for me. So now it's like I can choose on or off. There's a switch. I can turn on competitive. I can turn it off. And because there's places where it's right to be competitive, but there are other places where it's totally wrong. And some of us who have that competitive gene, we just have to be competitive 24/7. Today I can be competitive and not be totally non-competitive. I can choose when it's not, because I saw the price I paid. So you got to see the price you pay, and you can change that. You can, like a light switch, you can turn it off. So don't say it's too hard. It's going to take too much time. I'm too old. It's been entrenched in my life too long. Yikes. That's just, you know, saying I don't want to be any different. I'm going to sit back. Here's your definition. I'm going to expect something different, even though I'm not going to change. That's your definition of insanity. So we don't want to go there either. So, you know, quiet time with the Lord, of course, you know, as whatever your spiritual sense is, and just, you know, prayer time, whatever that is, to just work on you. Much of the struggle in life comes from us not being honest with ourselves or with others. And I wrote in here in my example, you know, I have a perfect example with my life when I talk about my lawyering career. Was I living a lie? And it wasn't really living a lie per se. But, you know, one of the reasons I went into law was because everybody told me I was such an outgoing leader from day one. I mean, getting out of the womb at 5 years old, I was running the baseball league in my neighborhood, and I was a girl. That was a little bit different, okay, but I had 6 and 7 year old boys in addition to 5 year old on the local team, and I was in charge. Imagine a 5 year old girl in charge of a neighborhood baseball team. I mean, baseball wasn't even supposed to be for girls back then, and girls didn't do things like that. They were supposed to be in the house playing with dolls, and then I was the youngest. I mean, how does that happen? How does those things happen, right? So because of those leadership concepts and everybody seeing that's the way, you know, I was first time ever in sixth grade, they had a class president. They never had class presidents before, but somehow I was, you know, when somehow got involved in it, and we decided to have presidential elections. So, and I ran on a famous platform, it's called. There were 14 girls, and there were 13 boys in my class. So I saw right away all I had to do is run on gender, you know? and I had it. So I was the gender candidate, you know. I was the girl, so the girl was going to win. So, you know, it's a political strategy there. But the intriguing thing was everybody kept saying, Rachel, you're going to be a lawyer. You'll probably go into politics someday. And I got that from day one. So it was just, it was my character that caused people to push this in my life. And I didn't even like to, I mean, I wasn't like a proficient writer, and I didn't really like all those kind of things. I didn't even like to read that much. I was more of an outgoing, I just like to be around people all the time. But push came to shove, and I ended up, you know, ending up in law school and then practicing law, and I wasn't happy. Because I looked at all these things, my emotions, my relationships, my charity work, my sense of fulfillment, my spiritual walk, my financial status, my fears. I mean, all the stuff that was playing out for me as I practiced law all those years, you know, I might have had great financial status, but my spiritual walk wasn't where it needed to be. My emotional status was up and down and all over the place. My relationships were shallow to a great extent. My charity work wasn't anywhere, not even close. I'm like 5% of where it is today. Sense of fulfillment, not there. I didn't feel fulfilled in what I was doing. I mean, all these things were kind of, you know, just there. I mean, it was like I was going through motions. And that's the problem with living lies or living somebody else's for you, not coming from authentic, not finding your purpose and finding your button and finding what really you're passionate about and doing it. I loved law, and I was intellectually totally intrigued by it. And what a joy that was. So I could find joy in it. But I didn't have a deep sense of joy. It was a shallow joy. It was like there was always some making millionaires, billionaires was just not floating my boat. And so it wasn't until I became honest with myself, that authentic thing. And the Lord had to be the one that worked on me to get me directed on the right path. And that's the beauty of what happens when you start. That's part of that quiet time and prayer time that you find that. So all I'm saying is being honest, people, and being authentic starts with you being authentic with self. And that's the most important thing, that you find you. Dig into finding you so that we don't just toss our life down the path of so let somebody else direct it. There's a better way out there. I think there's always a better way. I look at my life today and say there's a better way, and that's what I spend my time doing is, you know, supporting people, loving on people, and finding better ways, not just for them, but also for me in the process of what's my next step. So, okay, so that's it. That's being authentic, coming from you, working on you so you don't fall into those traps and that you can be that real person that everybody wants to hear. And when you're like that, I tell you, that's when your sign-up rates. You go out and talk to 10 people, you'll sign up 7 of them instead of 1. You'll have a totally different responsiveness from people around you because you're coming from authentic. And people can read that like a book. Some people will be afraid of it because they're coming from such an inauthentic place themselves, and that'll scare them a little bit, but that's okay. Maybe that's the impact you're supposed to have, to give people the freedom to come with authenticity themselves, and that's what I really think this world's about, is opening up and allowing people to be authentic around you. But you've got to come from that yourself. Okay, people, that's it. Any questions about being authentic? All right, people, we got a full chest. Okay, well.
Mary Jo, yeah. When you do your growth checks or however many years when you started on your personal development work, you know, like assessing a cornfield or whatever it is there a way that you keep track of that?
I probably have more track. I don't have like a journal of that tracing. Probably keep more track of it from a perspective of how different events or how different seminars, like when I go to like different personal development seminars and things like that, I keep a record of, you know, the seminar, and then I keep notes after the seminar about what did I learn and how does it apply to my life. Does that make some sense to you? And I do the same thing as I read books. Like when I read books in my life, I'll pick up a book and read it, and I have a book review that I do that I have supplied to all of you, I think, in the past, that just kind of says, what did I learn from my book? And you can do it by chapter, and then how does it apply in my life? Because I and the reason books play such a big role for me, I'm just an avid reader today, but I think that a lot of us read a lot of books, and we can talk to people about all the books we read, but when I ask people, okay, so what are you doing different in your life because of that book? And they'll look at me like deer in headlights. it's almost like, well, I didn't read the book to change my life. And I go, oh, you didn't? So why did you read the book? You get it?
Yeah.
But
I actually took notes on what you said. You know, for example, a lot of us, a lot of people went to church yesterday.
And
celebrated a resurrection for themselves or something. But then how did that, as you indicated, how did that affect your spiritual walk, whatever it is you heard or saw or thought or why you went or whatever? What's the yield of that investment?
There you go.
And, you know, I was just wondering if you had a way.
The thing of reviewing that and for the experience around the church yesterday, my experience, you know, and I look around because, you know, how many Easter Sundays have we been to?
Right.
And some people will come and they'll go, well, same old Easter service. And I look at them and I just, you know, when I go through a service like yesterday, to me it's like, okay, Lord, open my eyes to a greater enlightenment around what this is all about. You know, give me some more enlightenment. I got the Easter message, but I want more of you because you know, I think when you say, oh, I've heard it, done it before, you're failing miserably from a faith perspective. You're failing miserably in understanding God's abundance. I mean,
right.
His power is undefinable. It's indescribable to us.
Right.
And when we go through a service and say, oh, I've heard that, done that already, we are denying I don't care if you've been to Easter service 100 times. I don't care if you've memorized the passages in the Bible around Easter. But, you know, the problem is that it's not about the words. It's about how he speaks through those words to your heart and to create something different. And, yes, did I come away from yesterday's service? And of course, part of mine is I also do a Sunday school class. I'm a teacher of a Sunday school class, so that really helps me a lot, too, because just preparing for that class just opened my eyes to incredible things. I can read scripture anytime, and I'm going to tell you, I always get something new out of it, but that's because I just say, I open myself to hear, and he talks. I mean, he'll speak through that scripture to you. Yeah, cool. And just keep going, but don't stagnate. I mean, don't ever let the words flow into your head. Heard that, done that. I mean, even around Manitech, you don't do heard that, done that, because there's always newness of what we can learn new. And I can learn new about products. I can learn new about how to do the business better. I can, my whole experience around ICANN, having a group of people redrafting the forms and things, you know, I'm open and ready to receive all of that because, you know, when your goal is to be the best, achieve the best, and expand into the greatness of what the Lord has for you, it's the change is always there. There's always change happening. So anyway, I know that answered it a little further than you probably wanted. Hopefully, you get your answer. Okay,
Mary Jo,
uh-huh.
Where can we find what time the programs are at Manifest?
On the website right now, there's a whole outline of, you know, hour by hour, what that kind of the schedule is, and just look on the Manitech website.
Can I tell her how to get there?
How to get what?
Well, you first go into your site, then you click on register, even if you've registered,
uh-huh.
And it will open up a screen, and then there'll be a box at the top that says events.
Uh-huh.
If you click it, it will give you a whole spread of it.
There you go. You got it? Everybody got that?
Very much.
There you go. There's the step-by-step. Okay.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Are those T-shirts kind of a teal color? They really look pretty.
Yeah, they're kind of they're supposed to be kind of a bluish-gray, but they're not the light blue-gray that we originally got. They're a little darker than that. I haven't even seen them yet. They're supposed to arrive today. No,
oh,
I'm sorry.
I can't
wait. Tomorrow, they're coming to our house tomorrow. So
if we still send the fax order today, will they be paid for? As far as you're concerned, if they
absolutely
have a credit card,
absolutely.
And will it be ready to be picked up? Okay,
you betcha. Anything that comes in before Wednesday, I mean through Wednesday, Thursday for you. So,
thanks a lot, Mary Jo. Thank you very, very much. Looking forward to seeing it manifest.
Absolutely, love you guys.
Love you.
What's the largest size?
What?
What is the largest size T-shirt?
I think they ran out of the largest size, which was the double extra large. I think they only have extra large. Small, medium, large, extra large now. The double X are already been sold out. That just tells me we all got to go on diets or something. No, just kidding. Okay. So
thanks, Mary Jo.
You bet. Love you guys. Okay, have a great week. For those not joining us at Manifest, for those of you coming to Manifest, we'll see you all lots of times over the next few days. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now.